Of course we need the study and contemplation. If we don't have it, then we won't understand what we are practicing. And we have the benefit of merit, and it is through merit that we can practice these teachings, and it is through merit that we are able to benefit sentient beings. And then from this, we practice step by step. You see, can you visualize Vajrasattva? Many students aren't able to visualize clearly. Also, the deity. Can they visualize Guru Rinpoche clearly, Vajrakalia clearly, the color chakra clearly? They're not able to. They've just been studying all the time. And then if they are to visualize a lotus in front of them, also they are not able to visualize this. And this type of student, what are they lacking? Is practice. And this is for Mahamudra, the great perfection. One must be able to improve one's state of mind, one's state of realization. First, bring one's mind to calm abiding, and then in the merit of the calm abiding, then the visualizations are going to be very easy. You see, these students, they've been studying Buddhism for 20, 30 years, and I let them give them a pith instruction to visualize the lotus for just 10 minutes, and they are not able to do this. How is this student going to be able to attain enlightenment? What have they been doing? What have they been studying? This they also don't know themselves. They're not even aware of the state of their own practice. And so superficially, it seems like they are practicing Buddhism. In reality, they are confused and lost. If you ask them, then you see that they are lost. If you don't ask them, then they appear to be a very humble, good practitioner. However, all they've mastered is the study. They haven't mastered the practice. However, how and when to practice, this they haven't mastered. And then all of that time has gone, it's passed. Maybe they've generated arising causes. However, to be able to attain enlightenment in this lifetime and to be able to realize rainbow body, this won't happen. And why? Because the state of our practice is nothing to be proud of. All the realized masters are abiding in Rigpa. And when abiding in Rigpa, you won't have to individually visualize this guru and then that guru and another guru, this Dharma or that Dharma. What is the ultimate state of mind of all of these great masters is the Dhammakaya. Dhammakaya Buddha. What is Dhammakaya Buddha? It is this true nature of mind of ours. And then same old, same old. No matter how we practice, we don't seem to be able to leave behind these attachments, aversions, and afflictions. No matter how much we seem to practice. And why is this? It's because we are still living in a state of conceptuality, in a state of intellect. In reality, the state of realization that we should have achieved, we haven't. In reality, we cheat ourselves, we deceive ourselves, we think our practice is going well. However, some small dissatisfaction arises and we're not able to control our afflictive emotions. We understand so much of the Buddhism and the theory, however, such a small practice we're not able to realize. Have you noticed this in yourself? And this problem is your biggest problem. How do we resolve this problem? The only way is through practice. And so why are we so lost in terms of Buddhism? Why is it that people are lost? So many people are lost is because they haven't received these pith instructions. Of course, we listen to the Dharma. We're full of cherishing. We always say, oh, this is really good. This really makes sense. However, after listening to the teaching and then in daily life, any attachment or aversion or ignorance arises. They just have no way to oppose this, to face this. And they don't have the ability to transform these three poisons. All of these great lineage masters in the Nyingma tradition, they all started with the study and reflection. However, in the end, their realization came through practice. And then they attained enlightenment. Look for yourself. What group are you in? You might think that you are practicing Buddhism, however, it might be that you are far away actually from actual practice. And what is going to happen if we carry down this path? If we continue being lost, then at the time of death, when we are facing death, how are we going to be able to manage this? We won't be able to. People say that they have unmoving belief in the guru. However, they don't even know what unmoving belief in the guru is. If it really is that you have unmoving belief in the guru, why is it that you don't have any high states of realization? What you say in terms of renunciation and bodhicitta is just words. We can talk about it, we can recite it, and for a moment we may have bodhicitta, but after that moment it all disappears again. And the same for compassion. It arises for a moment, then you blink your eyes, and it disappears. You're not able to continue this compassion. There are those practitioners that for their whole life, not even for a moment, does their mind leave bodhicitta. For 24 hours in a day, day after day, their mind won't leave bodhicitta. And even in their dreams, they are practicing bodhicitta. And also in their dreams, they are corresponding with that of the guru. Why is it that you don't have these realizations? What do we think belief in the guru is? We've heard a teaching of the guru, we've met the guru, and now we have a lot of cherishing. But do you think this is unmoving belief in the guru? No way. For those students that have come up to the mountain to meet me, those that say that they have unmoving belief in me, I don't meet them. I'll meet all the other students, but these few students I won't meet. And then when you go home, will you have the same unmoving belief in the guru? If I do just a small thing like this to you, I guarantee that when you go home, this belief in the guru is going to have changed. You see, all the other students, so many of them were able to meet Rinpoche. I wasn't able to. Did you not say you have unmoving belief in the guru? So what difference does it make whether you meet the guru or not meet the guru? It shouldn't change your belief. Is this not what you say day in and day out? This is what you're just saying. And then after you're saying it for a long time, it just becomes a negative habit. And you say, I have unmoving belief in the guru, and you don't even know what unmoving in the belief in the guru is. Those few students that come here and say they've got unmoving belief in the guru, well, these are just don't meet everybody else. So many students, they can come in, I give them blessings, empowerments. But these students with unmoving belief, I'm not meeting them. And then you go home and really see if you truly have unmoving belief in the guru. When you speak like this, it's just like a story. It's really confused, lost speech. How can you enact this? You don't even know what unmoving belief in the guru is. And then you sit and recite these four lines. I will never leave the guru, life after life. Do you know what this means? And then what happens? Look, when you fall ill, then again, suddenly, you don't have any belief in the guru anymore. And when attachment, aversion, and ignorance arises, then again, you don't have belief in the guru. And when afflictions arise, again, you forget the guru. When you're experiencing anxiety, worry, fear, and then you forget about the guru, then where is this unmoving belief in the guru? Where is it gone? If you practice Buddhism like this, just like a story, then really, I don't believe it's going to have any great benefit to you. And I don't believe it's going to have a lot of blessing for you. And is this not how you normally are? When fear arises or afflictions arise, then where does all of this unmoving belief in the guru go? In essence, we are just following things superficially. We are just having fun. Other people say, oh, we're going to meet the guru. And they say, ah, yes, let me also go. Everybody else is going to request for Dharma. I'll also go. You're not even sure yourself whether you should or shouldn't be requesting for the Dharma. And so these days you really see that many of the practitioners are really very lost in terms of their practice. And then there are those students who really don't know what unmoving belief is. Those students that say this, I just don't meet them. And then look at the belief that Milarepa had towards Marpa. Do you have belief like this?